Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What were we going to talk about?
Your blank D's idea.
Blank desks idea? Blank decks idea?
That one, yeah.
One of those ideas. No, if you're a skateboarder, you probably remember blankdecks.com, which is where you could get skateboard decks.
So many D's.
That was so descriptive. The whole thing was that they just tried to cut down on costs, and all their shit was just like really plain and blank. I think that would be an easy business model to transfer over to disc golf and producing discs.
So, Innova, because we know you're listening after all the shit we've talked about you, just start selling blank discs.
Nah, I'm going to make my own molds too.
Oh, okay.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm pretty sure they already have come up with like all of the ways to make a disc, you know? There's not really a lot of innovation you can do, I don't think. Look at, what is that one company?
I know, yeah. Quest AT.
Quest AT, yeah.
They were before their time.
Yeah, but at the same time, let's do it. So, Eric and I, we're going to make some blank discs.
Everybody likes blank discs, but it's cool because it's like you don't find true blanks out there from like Innova and Discmania. So when you do find it, it's like rare. So the blank discs would be cool from its own special company, but blank discs from the other companies are going to be way more expensive than makes sense.
I just really like plain things is what all I want it for. And also, I feel like, you know, it would be a little bit cheaper to not have to hot stamp or worry about stamping.
Yeah, I know, like Axiom and MVP and all that, they used to do a lot of blank stuff for, like, if you were placed an order, but I don't know if that's still a thing. So instead, while we're starting our company, get a hold of us, and we'll wipe your stamps for you so that you can have the first ever blank discs ever. No one ever has wiped their stamp before.
No one's done it, ever.
It's a super secret process we use. Can't talk about it on air, so.
But it doesn't, I don't know, for me, it's not the same. You can still tell.
Where do you fall on ghost stamps, then?
I like them, but okay. I would much rather have just a nothing on the top of the disc.
Just a nothing.
Give me a nothing. Or, you know, that one little Ponderosa one that I have, the EMAC Judge, that just has like those little trees. I like mini stamps. Those are cool. But the blank ones, I think it would save money too. So then you could pass the savings on to people.
Isn't that where the F2s already come in?
Kind of, but those are a mistake.
Are they? They're like,
they're literally called factory seconds.
So? That doesn't necessarily make them a mistake. They just weren't as good as their brothers.
All right, well, accident? What word do you want?
Could use improvement.
Should have had an abortion.
Sure. Run it. So, in this blank discs idea, what are you going to do with your factory seconds?
They'll be factory thirds, because all of our discs, I'm just kidding.
Do those get stamped?
Well, you know, our standards will be so low that we'll just...
You're really making me want to buy from you.
That's capitalism, baby.
Yep. What's the first disc you're going to create? A destroyer? Are you going to recreate a destroyer?
Probably like a putter.
Good idea. That's a good idea. Always start with a putter.
There's never been a good putter made. So.
Yeah. We're going to create the very first putter that goes in the basket 60% of the time, every time.
I want the feel of an EMAC Truth.
In putter form. That sounds wonderful.
Do that to me, please.
I'll take 12.
Somebody do that. Oh, me. I would do that.
Yeah. We got this.
Yeah. I'm on it. Just like Eric running the numbers.
I kind of ran some numbers. You'll hear about them.
Well, that's a good tease.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm tired.
Me too. Should do the ad reads in the introduction.
All right. I'm Kyle.
I'm Eric.
And this is the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. That was the worst one we've ever done.
You went from like depressed teenager to overenthusiastic 21-year-old working at a Big B Coffee.
Wow.
Too soon?
That was deep, Eric. I'm going to go cry now. Good thing I'm already in the closet.
Don't cry. You still have an ad read to do.
I'm going to go a speed read again.
Yeah?
If you're cool with that. Did you like it?
I don't care. Yeah, I don't remember.
Did the people like it? Did you guys like it or did you hate it? You probably just skipped it anyway.
Yeah, it's easier to skip when it's only a few seconds.
You're welcome, everyone. Use code ONO for 10% off over at DiscBaron.com. Use code ONO20 for 20% off over at FrictionGloves.com. Use code ONO for free shipping at any item over at our Teespring store. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, or anywhere else on the internet. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
I feel like that one was even more clean than the last one.
Yeah, you're getting better. I dig it.
Way more tired than last time.
So last week I brought up the conversation about Gannon Burr getting called on his time violation, or not a time violation, but a warning on a time violation, I guess, and brought up that I think Nico is a worse putter when he takes a long time. And so I did a little bit of research. There is a video by Small Bore Outlaw. I thought was a weird name for a disc golf, but he put together a bunch of Nico shots, and it was eight Nico shots in 10 minutes. You know, it takes him 10 minutes to throw eight shots, and out of about the six putts in there, only two of them were under a minute long that it took him to, like, get ready, and he made those putts and missed everyone that was over a minute long.
So, tiny sample size.
I also found one more video from when he was, like, younger in his, probably, I don't know if I'd call it his prime, I guess. I don't know what time when he was prime. But he took, like, 10 to 15 seconds at
most. That's a good question. When is prime disc golf age?
To putt. Well, Paul McBeth is constantly putting up crazy numbers, and he's after what I would call prime disc golf age, but he's still doing it. So,
but like, is it like golf in that way then, where you're like your 30s are really where your bunny, because like I feel like that makes sense.
I would put it, yeah, like 27 to like 30, 32 at the oldest, because you have like enough knowledge of the game to play smart. But you still have the athleticism of a, you know, 20-something-year-old. Yeah, that's my final answer.
I'm going to say that you're probably able to play peak physical form until you're like 40.
I'm going to go, no, I don't think so.
Well,
I'm saying you can keep yourself in
peak physical form. Let's ask Tom Brady. Tom Brady, can you be physical after 40? I don't know. What does he sound like? What does Tom Brady sound like?
If you make millions of dollars, maybe, and play one game a year, or not one game a year, one game a week.
One game a year.
Sure, but they're playing 3 to 4 rounds a week, at least, not counting practice rounds.
I hear you. But it's a non-contact sport.
So I just feel like, and I'm not that Tom Brady isn't training, but I mean, he has millions of dollars of doctors, like paid professionals to take care of his body.
You're not hurting yourself in the same way with just golf is what I was getting at. Like the risk for hurting yourself isn't as bad, so you can push that optimal age longer was my thought process. We're going to end up talking for like 2 hours.
All right. So we got Eagle. We got Eagle, who's dealt with injuries in his right arm. I mean, now you're comparing because it's the same thing that happens with pitchers, is pitchers can't make go as long sometimes because of the injuries to their throwing arm.
But Eagle is also really good at throwing just left-handed, like in disc golf. So he could just switch.
Yeah. And then he just ends up injuring his left arm.
But then, Paul
McBeth is 32, and he could be dealing with possible, you know, career-ending injuries. Paul Ulibarri, same thing. He's 32 or 33, and it could be getting close to the time to where an injury could keep him from competing at the top level. Now, when disc golfers are making as much money as quarterbacks, we can revisit this, but as of right now, with the way the disc golf world is I don't think up to 40 is peak. You can keep your body like peak physical form for disc golf. We'll have to see what Scott Stokely does this year.
I think he'll be the true test, the temperature gauge.
Yep.
The age gauge. Scott Stokely, age gauge.
And I'm not saying that someone in their 40s can't like go out and win an MPO tournament.
Nah, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying
I'm just kidding. You like top of the best.
They won't
the best,
be. Yeah, they won't know, be there you. At like
peak physical form
in the top five every tournament at 40. Which some people can't even do it at age. You know, like yeah, I don't know. It's a hard court sport to compare to anything.
Yeah, you don't see any babies winning tournaments.
You sure don't. Although we did see a 16-year-old this year.
Pretty damn close.
He's almost closer to a baby, being a baby, than he is to the older guys on tour.
Count it.
If you follow us on Instagram, you will see tomorrow we have an awesome giveaway that we're starting for our 2,000 followers giveaway. So thank you, everybody who follows us.
Should I
tell them what it is? Give them a day ahead peek of what we're giving out?
Absolutely.
All right. So we got we got three.
We have all
of the Discraft Tour Series discs. We got Alexis Manduahano Scorch. We got a Tim Barham Buzz SS and a Adam Hammis Zone, all with a bunch of swirls. 2 ghost stamps and 1 black stamp. So pictures are going to go up on the Instagram tomorrow with how you can win those. So tell your friends and
tell your family.
Yeah. Because if they win them, they can just give them to you.
Right. It's a win-win, guys. And they are sweet discs.
We're the only ones who are losing here because we don't get to keep these discs.
True story. I want that fucking Scorch. I also want the Zone, so... Yeah, no, I wish I could enter, but we can't. That's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. That'd be some shit, too. You'd get, like, your mom or your sister to enter, and that'd be the one who we would draw, just like with Garza the one time.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, like, we didn't cheat. I promise you.
I know it looks bad, but...
It looks so bad, but... We just wanted to support him, and we accidentally won. But that's life.
That's life.
So what's the podcast done for you, Eric?
I wasn't a really big public speaker. I'm still not a great public speaker. I do a lot of fidgeting and losing my train of thought because I'm like thinking too hard while I'm talking in public. But it has helped me tremendously come out of my shell enough, at least in the disc golf world, to where I...
But really, the disc golf world is the important world.
Yeah. I started a league. I feel so much more just, like, at home at, like, a disc golf tournament, whereas kind of, like, the first couple I went to, I felt like an outsider because I was new to, like, the tournament scene.
Right.
But talking to all of the amazing guests we have had, I realized that I, you know, it's, I am a disc golfer, and that's all that really matters at the tournaments. So,
right.
You don't have to be a person who's been playing tournaments their whole life, or you don't even have to be a person who plays tournaments every day to go there, and, or not every day, you know, like a person who regularly plays tournaments. You could play once a year at a tournament, and they'd still just invite you in as long as you aren't a dick.
That's it. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, but it's opened up many ways to kind of create friendships that would probably not be there have I not done this podcast, or, you know, like, if I don't do this podcast with Kyle, like, a lot of the friends that I've met online and some of the people that I've gotten close to, you know, like, I'd still know them, but I wouldn't be friends with them the way I am.
I get you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I think it's the same way. It's been a good foot in the door to just, you know, we're ourselves, but we also are representing Ono, I guess, too, yeah. Which is kind of cool.
It's like my community is small enough that everyone kind of just knows, you know, like knows of me, and I kind of know of most people who are regular in the community.
Right.
The Tri-City community, so we're not known for our social media or online, like what we do there. So
for me too, I just feel like I liked public speaking, but it's just been nice to have like an outlet to, you know, if I want to talk about something, I can, or like potentially like we're going to help out with a tournament for epilepsy later this summer and we can like do that kind of shit, or like the cleanup effort and just like as much positive shit that I can get out of this, I will. It's kind of not the best way to say that, but.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just taking
poop.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but you get it. You guys got what I was putting down, right? Yeah.
No, it all sounded good until you said just taking all the positive shit I can out of it. And then it kind of was like, oh, you just want, but. I don't think anyone will think it's that way until maybe I said it, but
I just want, you know, we'll just, I don't know how else.
We want to give positive shit to everybody we can.
Yes.
Maybe we should stop using the word shit. Might sound better if we don't use the word
positive
vibes.
Intention? We're trying to help the community.
Say the line. Say the line.
The line.
The line.
Pick up your fucking trash.
No. No.
That line?
No. The line you post on Instagram every time.
Oh, it's the mantra.
I don't know what that means.
Positivity out, positivity in. It's what I live by.
Oh, he's a dick to me.
I'm a depressed fuck, and I would like to, you know, make other people happy as much as I can.
Is it working? Are you guys happy yet?
I waited for a response.
I'm still waiting.
Still waiting.
No, but I cannot thank anybody who interacts with us, listens, comments, whatever, in any way, shape, or form, reviews.
Has followed.
Yeah.
Anything. Any of the things. Has liked the post.
It makes this a little bit more worthwhile than just me talking to Kyle on a microphone. It makes Kyle's editing probably feel the most worthwhile, because I'm sure I'm not easy to edit for.
It depends on the day. I was going to say something nice, but then it depends on the day.
Too much positivity. He's already spewed it all out. Now it's going to be negative Kyle for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I'm negative Kyle now, also known as Nancy.
Now that we've got through all the positive stuff the Disc Golf Podcast did for us. We're going to talk about the negative stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been any negatives.
There really hasn't been any. Yeah. I thought the internet would be like a horrible, deep, dark place that they'd have canceled us already. But
see, I think
we're still here.
If there's been any people that have not liked the show and expressed their opinions, I just find it funny. So it's like,
that's true.
It's not really, like, it could be seen as a negative for some people, but I don't take anybody who insults me on the internet seriously. So,
right. And like, we're supposed to be cringy and we tell bad jokes and it's just kind of our thing.
Is it shtick? That's what I couldn't figure out. I was getting ready to say it.
I think it's shtick.
And then I was like, you're right.
Confidence, Eric. Confidence. Shtick.
Yeah, that's our thing. I'll just use a word I know.
Good job, Eric. It's safe. Shtick could be a slur for all I know.
Probably is. Now we're canceled for sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but no, it's been a kind of cool to like catalog our journey as well.
Even if we don't remember anything we said on most of the episodes. Anything
we have said, yeah. But it's there, and we could go back and listen to it.
I do. I check out some episodes, but not a lot. I hate the sound of my voice. Again, just one last time, thank you guys for listening and taking this journey with us.
Appreciate you coming on the ride, even if you hated it. Especially if you hated it.
Yeah. And we got to watch a bunch of Windy Disc Golf this weekend. Kyle had flashbacks to whatever day he was out there in like 40 mile an hour winds.
It was like a week ago.
Yeah, I would say I don't know what the max like gust was, but I think the max like steady wind at DDO this weekend was 40 miles an hour, with gust obviously reaching much higher than that, but I didn't hear if they had like the fastest was.
Here we had like 60 to 80 was our topped out, so I'm guessing it was about the same there.
They always just get like the wind reads from the weather channel, which is never like, or not the weather channel, but like a weather app, so it's never like super
accurate.
Yeah, like UDisc listed it at like 27 miles an hour, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's faster than that, but
right, like, you're a fucking liar.
During the tournament, we had a total of, do you remember? I forgot to write that number down. Like nine MPO players did not finish. Four of them was because of COVID. Paul Ulibarri is stepping away from disc golf for a little while and resting an injury until he feels comfortable to come back. He said, if you guys watch the practice round, you guys have seen how much the last thing he wants to do is win a major. And so I think he probably won't come back until a major. I think he set his date to be the preserve, but I could see him taking the preserve off even if like a major's coming up shortly after that. So we will have to wait and see. But
the ageless wonder, he needs to figure it out, man.
He is prime guy. So, but yeah, I think that is probably the first time he's ever taken time off outside of recovering from surgery, which I guess kind of the same, but it's a whole lot different when you feel mostly okay throughout the week and then it just can't perform at like the top level like you're used to doing. Whereas like when you're recovering after surgery, it's kind of a whole different like doctor ordered rest, you know?
Right. Whereas now he's just doing it because he knows he needs it.
Yeah. So I'm super I don't want to say excited for him, but I'm super happy that he is making that decision. And if he came back and could win a major at the end of the year, that would be probably about the coolest thing that could happen for him. Or even like the beginning of next year, like the first major of next year would be awesome.
Right. Brody was looking pretty good out there.
Yeah. Yep. Brody had a really good showing at the tournament. A lot of people did. There were so many like first timers on Jomez Pro.
It was a good time.
I do want to go over, Elliot Hansen came in third. I'm super excited to see her in third again because she's one of my favorite FPO players. She tied for third, and this is now 2 weeks in a row that she got a podium finish. And then on the MPO side for at third place, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people all tied for third.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of scoring separation.
Nope. When there's that much OB and that much wind, everybody's just trying to play safe and do everything they can to not throw out of bounds. Oh, it was also the first time in Paul McBeth's career that he did not make the cut line for the final day for the of a tournament. So, rest in peace, Paul McBeth. He's now officially out of his prime and washed up.
Yeah, old man, Paul McBeth.
Yeah. Dude, you know the next tournament he's going to come out shooting just absolutely fire. He's going to shoot like 3,100 rated rounds in a row.
Well, he just did, like, he just, like, set the record for a course, but then, like, I just don't understand how he played so poorly.
I think Paul McBeth is one of those guys that knows how to play smart, but then when the smart plays don't work out, he's just like, well, frick it, I'm just running everything then.
That makes sense. That's like, what do I have to lose? And yeah, then it's just like, he ends up losing, actually.
Right. So next tournament you guys have to look forward to, and we have to look forward to, they have the Helsinki Open starting this Friday, and then the next American Disc Golf Pro Tour is Santa Cruz Master Cup. It's a Silver Series starting May 13th, and that's out in California. So pretty excited about De La Viega. That's it.
3, 2, 1.
Top five.
Oh, yeah.
So if we haven't talked about it before, me and Kyle grew up skateboarding. Well, grew up, yeah. We skated a lot when we were younger.
Nailed it.
And so we picked our top five skateboarding companies' artwork that we would like to see as disc golf stamps. Kind of goes along with our blank decks and the Santa Cruz Master Cup, because they already put the Santa Cruz Screaming Hand on discs, which is on a lot of skateboards too.
Let's go.
Starting off at number five, I picked Death Wish. I like their little symbol. It's so simple. It just looks like spray paint most of the time, and it's just one line straight down and then two diagonal lines. I don't even know what it means. Probably means something horrible. And I don't know, but they do a lot of just like dark artwork, and I'm a big fan.
If you like dark stuff, check it out.
Yeah.
Well, if you like dark stuff like us.
Big fan. Me and Kyle, I think, had wildly different tastes in what we liked on our skateboard.
Yep. I like a bit more of a plain style for sure.
Yeah. I like,
but that's just me overall.
I was always big into growing up just like anything skulls or like kind of like death the related stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, Eric was a little bit focused on dying.
It's not wrong.
Who hasn't been?
Who hasn't been there?
Most people, but Anyway, moving on to Spitfire. I don't have anything to say about it. I just remember the little logo is cute.
He likes the little cartoon guys.
Yeah, I like cartoons.
Yeah, and he's just like this little fire. Or am I thinking? I think I'm thinking of. Oh, nope. Okay, I am thinking of the right guy. Yeah, he's just a really simple cartoon fire guy. I don't. But
it's like, it doesn't matter what wheel you had too, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, I just like the logo.
Yep.
That's what this is about. So give me a fire guy on a disc, please.
It'd be an easy die. Quick little stencil. And
Eric, your easy die.
For number three, I picked Blind. They have a little cartoon Reaper guy that they did all kinds of funny things with. They had one where they dressed up Kenny from South Park as the Blind Reaper guy. And I actually still have that board.
That's dope.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's just this funny little funny little Reaper, and I always enjoyed him. He was like the first skateboard brand that I really liked because of it, and then my taste evolved into Skulls after that. Anyway, so.
Yep. Eric had a death theme going on.
Yep, pretty much all three of my skateboards companies I picked.
Were we emo kids?
I was very much. I tried my hardest to be. I was a dot try hard emo kid. And then I found weed.
And then he was a stoner kid. Yep. Real quick.
That's for sure.
Number two is the Enjoy Skateboard Company. They have an awesome panda. I like pandas. Easy fit.
And it was probably the simplest of logos.
It is. Like, it is definitely.
Half the time it would just be like black background and then the white would, you know, or vice versa, whatever way they wanted to do it. But
it was marketing was just right in my sweet spot where it was like art, but it was so plain that you could barely tell that it was still a logo. A lot of abstract stuff.
Many, many Enjoy shirts growing up.
Had a lot. And I like their decks too. All the things. But give me that panda on everything. I still wear Enjoy shirts. I haven't skated in years. Feel like a poser, but
who cares?
I just tell people I'm old.
I got carpal tunnel in one of these wrists. And...
Right. Yeah. If you broke as many bones as I have, you would stop too.
Number one is Zero. So if you've watched Toy Story and you know Sid from Toy Story, the little skull on his shirt is almost the exact same skull from Zero. Like most skateboard companies, they did a lot of, like, it looked like spray paint art, and I always dug that. So it was just simple red bold letters on black skateboards and with the skull, and that's all I needed.
It was a nice skull design.
Yeah, it was like simple, and it wasn't like overly.
Because I'm not a skull guy.
Overly produced.
But I liked it.
And they had also, like, they had some of the sickest skaters in the world.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to go into as well.
Yeah. Jamie Thomas, Chris Cole. Nope, she was toy machine.
But just Chris Cole was one of my favorites. Yeah,
Chris Cole's king. King of skateboarding, if you ask me.
Chris Cole, if you want to come on the show.
If you want to try disc golf, come to Michigan, hang out with me.
Or Colorado, I'm down.
I think he's in New Jersey.
Actually, I'll come to you.
I think he's in Jersey, if I remember right.
Easy trip.
Well, that is the top five skateboarding companies. We would like to see their art on disc golf stamps. Or disc golf discs. Stamped on disc golf discs.
Nailed it. Perfect.
And that's episode 66, part one.
Of six. Tune in next week for part two. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, we're just being jackasses.
Facetious.
We think it's funny. So, but thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week.
Tell your friends about the show. If you could, that'd be the nicest thing you could do for us, is to tell one friend, and we'll catch you on the flip side.